case coming before the Supreme Court today will test the limits of free speech. The Reverend Fred Phelps, an anti-gay protester, is being sued by the father of Matthew Snyder, a 20-year-old Marine who died in Iraq. Phelps and his followers from Westboro Baptist Church picketed Snyder's funeral with signs saying, "Thank God for dead soldiers." Reverend Phelps believes our war dead are a punishment from God, a punishment meted out because the United States is overtly tolerant of homosexuality. Snyder's father wants Reverend Phelps punished, but the Supreme Court has proved itself willing to protect even the most extreme versions of free speech. Our guest today is a fine example of that. Larry Flint joins us. He's the publisher of Hustler, and he came up before the court almost 20 years ago with a free speech case of his own. Good morning.
Good morning.
Ironically, your case, Hustler Magazine versus Falwell, is actually being used as a precedent in the current case, Snyder versus Phelps. Did you ever expect that would happen?
Well, it's interesting to know why it's being used, because the Supreme Court ruled in my case that the Reverend Falwell could not collect damages because of emotional distress, because he did not prove liable. So what they're basically saying, if you get your feelings hurt, you really don't have a lawsuit. So they're using that case for the same reason. Now, I think that there's nothing more despicable, distasteful, or alarming than protesting the funeral of someone's loved one returning from war. You know, I mean, that's just totally out of the pale. But you got to understand, we have basic constitutional rights like freedom of speech, freedom of religion, the right to assemble, redress of government for grievances. And you can't really play with these fundamental rights, because whether it's a mosque in New York or someone wanted to burn the Koran in Florida, remember, it's no longer a crime to burn the flag in America. At one time it was. So we pay a price for everything to live in a free society, and that price is toleration. We have to tolerate things that we don't necessarily like so we can be free. A good way to look at this in terms of how the Supreme Court might rule is I think they might do similar to what they've done in the abortion cases in the 70s and 80s, because people were protesting the clinics, and they were in masses, and young mothers who needed service couldn't even get inside the clinic, much less consultation. So the court said, well, you still have your right to protest, but, you know, you're going to have to do it someplace else. And I think the ruling could be, well, if this guy wants to protest funerals, he can do it from 2 miles away or something. I'm just guessing, but...
Well, you know, there are some basic differences between this case, Snyder versus Phelps, and yours against Reverend Jerry Falwell. I mean, you printed a fake ad, a satire in Hustler that said some very naughty things about the Reverend, the late Jerry Falwell, and some poems as well. And in this particular case, the protests don't name a specific person. They simply say that the war dead is an example of God's punishment against the United States for tolerating homosexuality. And I'm wondering if you think that's kind of another distinction, that if the...
No, it isn't, because deciding of my cases at the Supreme Court for the first time in its existence established a parody as a protected speech and said that you cannot sue someone simply because your feelings have been hurt. The Snyder family was very upset, and by every right they should have been upset. I don't even blame them for suing. But, you know, we can't compromise a law that's integral to the life that we live just to keep somebody from being emotionally upset.
I wanted to ask you more about your relationship with Jerry Falwell. It is ironic all the different ways in which these cases intersect. Jerry Falwell was involved in your free speech case, also not tolerant of homosexuals, but he called Fred Phelps a first-class nut, and Fred Phelps, in turn, picketed Falwell's funeral. And you maintained a relationship with Jerry Falwell after the case was over, right?
Yes, I did. Ironically, I became friends with Jerry Falwell. We were debating each other on some college campuses, and we had dinner one night and decided we had more in common than not in common. So I was glad before he died that even though I disagree with him philosophically all the way, I was glad that we was able to kind of bury the hatchet, so to speak.
Well, and let me ask you, one of the things that you had in common is that you both feel Fred Phelps has stepped over that line. And I want to ask you, if you were a family member of one of these soldiers, if you were a family member, and I mean, in fact, the Westboro Baptist Church even picketed the funerals of the victims of the Sago mine disaster. They tried to picket the funerals of some college-age victims of a house fire. Let me just ask you, what would you suggest these families do?
Well, they got to get hold of themselves and realize that there's all sorts of views by various nuts out there that we don't share as Americans. But it's important that we learn that we have to tolerate these people. As I said earlier, we have to do that in order to be free. And, you know, things like the Quran and the flag and the mosque, those are all just symbols. But they're symbols that get people free. Emotionally aroused. I mean, nothing like this funeral. This funeral is the most absurd thing that I ever heard of. But, you know, when I was sitting in the galleries of the Supreme Court in 1988, you know, I was confident that it, I looked over at Jerry Falwell and his family, and it looked like a Norman Rockwell painting. And here the court's allowed to view on, to pass judgment on the pornographer or the preacher. I knew that I was going down, so nobody was more surprised by that decision than I was, but it greatly restored my faith in the Supreme Court.
Larry Flint, publisher of Hustler and advocate for free speech. Let me ask you one more question. Would you file an amicus brief on behalf of the Westboro Baptist Church?
No, of course not.
You wouldn't. You don't feel any need to say anything or to file anything with the Supreme Court?
No, I think the Supreme Court is bound to uphold the law. That's what they're there for, and I hope they do it.
Larry Flint, he was part of the Hustler magazine versus Falwell decision back in the 1980s. Thanks so much for joining us.
I love that. He came to find that he and Jerry Falwell had more in common than separated them in the end. That's a pretty interesting take on his relationship with Jerry Falwell there. Well, head over to the website and tell us what you think about this conversation. What are the limits to free speech in America? Should there be any? Weigh in at thetakeaway.org. And while you're there, you know, we have an ongoing project on class. We want you to take photos of things around your house and around your neighborhood that illustrate what class you're in. It could be your car. It could be your lawn. That's at thetakeaway.org. I'm Todd Zwillick in for John Hockenberry. He's back tomorrow.
And I'm Celeste Head. This is The Takeaway.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.